led God's people into the wilderness. Their lives were really changing. But, trouble again.
Treasure the faith. Can break through, no mountain you can move. impossible. And there's no broken body you can't raise, no soul that you can't save. All things are possible. The darkest night, you can light it up.
Knowing the battle
come to the altar. It's open. The altar is open. Come to the altar. Hallelujah. Glory to God.
Mother's wombs, for writing a book about our lives before we were even in our mother's womb. God, you got a plan, and we thank you today for that plan. Hallelujah.
Glory to God. Lord, you see every soul on this altar today. And you know already why they came. You know. And so today I thank you that every need is met. Every prayer is answered. God, by your will, not what we expect, but by your will, every need is met and every prayer is answered. Help us to humble ourselves, to receive whatever it is, God, you have for us. In the name of Jesus, continue to bless your people, God. Let healing flow on this altar. Let your healing power flow on this altar. Because, God, we know that you are our healer. Hallelujah. And today we thank you. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Today is a day of worship. Today is a day of thanksgiving. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Glory to God. We bless you, Lord. We bless you. Give him a praise in the sanctuary. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We thank God for another chance for us to assemble together, to worship him, to lift him up. Are there any visitors in the building today? Any visitors? If so, we would like to welcome you. Thank you, thank you. Hello, hello. We have visitors, y'all. We have visitors. Glory to God. Thank you for coming to worship with us today. We thank God that you chose to come and be with us. We do have service here every Sunday at 10 a.m., Bible study on Wednesday nights at 7 p.m. Please come join us again. Carpenter Shaw, will you give our visitors another welcome? Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Well, it's offering time at this point. Hallelujah. You give us your chance to give a little bit back of what God has given to you. That's always a privilege because you can never outgive him. He will always bless you in the little and in the great as long as you keep a heart of thanksgiving. It's offering time in the building. Hallelujah. Please come and give.
God is good. Praise God. Goodness for you in 2022. Come on, let's hear from the Lord today. Goodness for you in 2022. Praise the Lord. Thank you, worship team, for leading us in the presence of God today. Thank you, congregation, for seeking the Lord, being willing to move forward. You know, the altar should be open all the time, just to just make a statement to God, not necessarily coming with a specific need, but to make a statement. Amen. To God. Here I am, Lord, to worship you. Amen. Here's hoping that each of you had a very, very Merry Christmas. Amen. God is good. Spent time, valued time with your family. We got some family here this morning from all the way from the upper part of Maryland, I guess. Pastor Bernie and Doris's family is here on the third row. You guys, come on. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Glad you're here today. Valued time with family, and then you were able to release blessings. Somebody say gifts. Yes. You're able to release gifts to those family members to celebrate the birth of the King of all kings, the Lord Jesus Christ. What an incredible time just to spend time with family. We were able yesterday to be in the presence of Abby and her family and then come back home and sit on the sofa and by the technological advances of FaceTime, take a little trip to Seattle for a little bit. Come on. Amen. Never leave the house. And thank God for meaningful technology like that. Thank God for technology today. If you're here in the building and you're able to, why don't you just pull up this service right here on your Facebook and hit share and just multiply exponentially where that thing goes. You have the opportunity to do that. I do that every, you see me get on my seat on the Sunday morning, I pull out my phone and say, well, what he gets on his phone for? I'm just hitting the multiplication button. That's all. Just pull it up your phone, hit share, join us and hit share. And what you do is you increase that. You increase that so many, many times. And so we're grateful for that technology. Grateful for other countries who are watching us today. Goodness for you in 22. It's a fresh start. It's your opportunity. Today is your first opportunity to declare your intentions. Somebody say intentions. Because I know you have intentions. You're already thinking. You know, just yesterday we were throwing away bows that we bought, wrapping paper that we paid dear money for. We just balled it up. And somebody sat there and was the trash person in the middle of the room. Anybody got one of those in their family? Always somebody's got a big old black bag. Just throw me all your trash. Because they're OCD and they don't want a bunch of mess in the house. Amen. I like to keep the trash up. And you just threw away all of that paper. And, you know, you're already, listen, we're already making conscious, willful decisions about what's next. We are. You know, there's a fair amount of people here today. I have people this week. Pastor, we have in service. What's the reason why we wouldn't? What's the reason why we wouldn't have a service? You know? To accommodate people's laziness, you know. Amen. Are we having church? I think I needed to put my phone on automatic response. Yes. Okay. Anyway, it's all good. If you ever want to know, just, hey, you can visit online. You visit a Facebook page or something like that, and you should be able to see if we have intentions of being here. But it's a great time for us to have a fresh perspective about our intentions, a new timetable for our lives. I always think about these things, you know, and I'm not big. Listen, are we having a watch night service? What is that? What's a watch night service? Is it something that if you show up mystically, magically, and if you're somehow speaking in tongues at 11:59, God's just going to open heaven? And you're just not going to be able to obtain the blessings. God is not into your calendar. Amen. Okay? He is not into your calendar. And so, listen, you could show up at 11:59 and be here at midnight on the 31st, but it's really what happens on the 1st, the 2nd, the 3rd, the 4th, and the 5th that matters more about what you're doing at 11:59. So the answer to are we having a watch night service is no. Okay? No. I'm going to be asleep. Okay? Do what you want to. I'm going to be asleep. Okay? Amen? Somebody say, Pastor, so spiritual. Amen. If that floats your boat, find you a church somewhere that's having a watch night service complete with butter beans and ham and biscuits and all, and help yourself. You're not going to offend me at all. Black eyed peas, yeah, it doesn't matter. Hog jowl. But have yourself a time, but I'm going to be asleep, all right? Because that's the hour of the day that you should be asleep, all right? So God's not sitting there watching saying, he didn't go. No, he's not. That's not the way God is. So we're just going to believe God for his intervention into our calendar. I've already begun to plan my calendar. I've been working on my calendar for weeks. I've been working on sermons and not writing the whole sermon, but hearing what the Lord is saying to me, and all the way up to December of next year, 2022. We're going to have service on a Friday night, December, Christmas time. Next year, Christmas is on Sunday. That's going to put a bunch of y'all in a jam. Okay? what are you going to do? We're going to make it really easy for you. We're going to help you. Last time Christmas fell on a Sunday, 7 years ago, and I remember what we did. We had service on a Friday night. The place was packed. And then we captured the service, and we just hit the live button on Sunday morning, and we release you from all that guilt, okay? You don't have to worry about it. Listen, you can mark it on your calendar right now, the 23rd of December, 2022, service at Carpenter Shop, Friday night. Amen? Amen? Friday night. And then you don't have to worry, well, it's not going to get into your Christmas Eve. It's not, because I believe in family time. I really do. Believe in those things. So we're not going to mess that up for you, and we're not going to forsake, you know, giving the concentration to the Lord that is due his name. We'll be here on Friday night, and we'll worship the Lord, and then we'll capture that. And then the Sunday morning, there'll be people that won't even know. They'll be sitting there saying, hey, Carpenter Shop's having service on Christmas Day? And they'll say, yeah, it's live right now, okay? Praise God. Some of y'all will catch that up with your mind in a bit, and you'll understand. So today's your opportunity to hear from the Lord. I believe that I have a word to deposit into your spirit about this coming year. How many of y'all would really like that? Just really like to hear something about 22. Amen? 2022. Can you believe it? I was thinking the other day, I was remembering when the millennium bug was the big news. You know, what's going to happen? Midnight on 1999, when that clock strikes and it's the year 2000. Do you know that Christian authors wrote books about that was going to be the Big Bang, and you know, you better store all the water you can, because the computer's not going to know how to handle, you know, those digits going all the way back to zero again. People wrote books on that, sold books on that, preached about it, and guess what happened? Nothing, okay? Guess what you got out of it? A lot of water, okay? Right? A lot of water. Listen, God is not on our calendar. He's not. In fact, you should pay attention to the Jewish calendar. You really should. It's more productive for us in the spiritual realm than our January to December is. We use a Gregorian calendar, okay? But that really is it helps us, but it doesn't do anything to impress God. It really doesn't. So we're at that place, though, where calendars are helpful. You know, I keep all my stuff. I don't use paper anymore, so I keep all my stuff right here. It's in my hand. It's on the smartphone, and I can look. You know, if I make a dentist appointment, I just take my thumb and put it right there right then. And the lady said, here, let me give you a card. I don't need your card. I don't want anything else to keep up with. I got it on my phone, okay? So do away with paper, all right? Do away with the papers. Come on, let me snatch you in to the 20th century at least. Come on. Come on with me at least to the 20th century. Do away with your calendars, your papers, and all that file cabinets. Get rid of it. Use the technology that you have today and make it easier on yourself. All right? There's a little advertisement for technology. Come on. But it's that season where it's that season where you start to think about, you know, the seasons and what can I expect, and going to drop 25 pounds. And you didn't drop it last year. What makes you think you're going to drop it this year? Okay? Maybe, you know, I don't know. Well, I'm going to get my, you know, a lot of us are making, you know, petitions and resolutions, and I'm going to lose weight, and I'm going to find that right person to spend my life with. All of those are wonderful, wonderful things. But we petition the Lord, and we ask him to bless our path, okay? We ask him to orchestrate those things, all right? Going to save some money this year. That's a good thing. Going to pay off some debt. That's a better thing, amen? Just going to do some powerful things about goals and plans and resolutions. How about some resolution like this? To faithfully attend worship services. Amen? Wow. Sundays and small group opportunities for the year. Things are going to shift a little bit in the calendar year of 2022 for Carpenter Shop. We're going to provide for you more opportunities for small group gatherings. More opportunities for you to connect in smaller numbers, okay? It's not all about swelling up real big on a Sunday morning and flexing your muscles and seeing how many people we can get in here. I love that. The more the merrier, man. If nothing to make me in here happier than if we had to pull chairs out of something. That's a beautiful thing. But what about those meaningful moments when we can connect together with people around a table or around a living room somewhere or in a coffee shop? We're going to do more of those things in 22. Hebrews 10:25 says this, we're not to give up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but to encourage one another, and all the more as you see the day. I like the way that's capitalized in the Bible. As you see that day approaching. You know, there are people still, I can't get this. I told Pastor Joy this morning, come on, in the parking lot? COVID ran you out of the building in March of 19, and you're still in the parking lot? What's going on? What's going on with the church? Some of people be listening to me and say, man, he's talking about our church. I am. Get in the building. Stop messing around with this stuff. Because guess what? They've already shown you, here we have another variant. It's not going away. Okay? What happened to the flu? Matt said this morning in the hallway. Flu, what's that? Where's that gone? That's a past tense word, man. Who's ever had the flu? Nobody gets the flu anymore. Okay? So the world is changing. Guess what you got to do to keep up with it? Change, okay? You got to keep changing. And God wants you to not give up the idea of connecting together with other believers and like precious faith around smaller groups and connecting together. What about arriving early at worship? Free from judgment with a heart of gratitude. How about if everybody did that? How about if everybody just said, you know what? I'm just going to do church this year like I've never done it. If you started doing that and you started doing that and you started doing that, guess what would happen? Man, the place would just come unglued. You know, you spontaneously worship God this morning. You spontaneously, all you had was a leader who came down and just said, hey, I just got to get some worship on for a second, and got on her knees. And guess what happened? You followed suit. You came in and said, you know what? I feel that. And you worshiped God. And God just settled in here by His Spirit for a few minutes and wrapped us in His presence. Okay? You can't concoct that kind of stuff. You can't make that happen. God has to be present for that to happen. All right? And so we arrive early and we are free from attitudes, because David said this. David said in Psalm 122, verse 1, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go to the house of the Lord. Let us fall in love again with corporate collective worship. Let us fall in love with that. Let us not just not want to miss it. I commend you guys for being here today. It's an amazing thing, because, you know, it would have been easy just to kind of say, you know what, I'm not going today. I'm going to clean up all this stuff from yesterday, and I'm just going to relax today. Well, you can relax later. Amen? Today's a day of worship. Psalm 100, verse 4 and 5. Enter His gates with what? Thanksgiving. Into His courts with what? Praise. Amen? Give thanks to Him and praise His name. Why? Because the Lord is so good. Amen? And His love endures forever, and His faithfulness continues throughout all the generations, the Bible says. I would love to come to this place with a sense of ready people. Let's make it our goal to be ready this year. A sense of ready people. People who dropped all of their preconceived ideas of what the church looks like and sounds like, and to meet their own preferences. Everybody has preferences. But here you sacrifice your preferences, and you just come collectively together to worship God. People who just come to make their deposit of gratitude and thankfulness and entertain the Lord's presence for a season. Just come to encounter the Spirit of God, because when you come together, He is with you. Amen? He's with you. He's in your midst. He's in the midst to bless you. My encouragement for you as a Christ follower in 2022 is to come in here like you are the only one, and you have a scheduled meeting with the Lord Jesus Christ at 10 o'clock, and he's already got there before you got there. Amen? Just come to church like you've got a scheduled assignment. I've got a dentist appointment. You wouldn't be late for your dentist appointment because you get excited about root canals costing you $1,500. Come on. You wouldn't be late for that. No, you wouldn't be late for work, so don't be late for church. Make it a priority, amen? Let's listen to what the Lord says about 2022. Father, in Jesus' name, we just come before you today with thanksgiving in our hearts. God, we come before you with that deep sense of gratitude for what you have done for us. You've redeemed us. The word says, not with something corruptible like silver or gold, but by the precious blood of the Lamb. We're declared righteous when we know full well we're not. God, you have imputed unto us the righteousness of Christ, and you've called us to shine for him. This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. God, you've called us to let that light shine so that others might see Jesus in us and be drawn to faith in Christ for themselves. Help it to be a year, God, of tremendous power of the gospel radiating from our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, turn with me to Psalm 65. Let me teach you something this morning. Don't say Psalm chapter 65. They're not chapters. They're psalms, okay? I love what one preacher says. He says, turn with me to the division of Psalms number 65. See, that's impressive, isn't it? Turn with me to the division of Psalms number 65. That's like a chapter, but it's Psalm 65. Amen? It has only 13 verses, and it reads like this. Praise awaits you, our God, in Zion. Read this. Don't let it pass you. To you, our vows will be fulfilled. Did you catch that? To you, Lord, our vows, my pledge to you, my promise to you, my issues between you and I will be just set in stone. Between you and I, God, I'm going to come to you. You're the one who answers my prayers, and to you all people will come. When we were overwhelmed by sin, we just sang about that a few moments ago. When we were overwhelmed by sin, you forgave our transgressions. Blessed are those you choose and bring near to live in your courts. We're filled with the good things of your house and your holy temple. You answer us with awesome and righteous deeds. God, our Savior, the hope of all the ends of the earth and of the farthest seas. You're the one who formed the mountains by your power, having armed yourself with strength, who stilled the roaring of the seas, the roaring of their waves. And Lord, you're the one who even stills the turmoil of nations, the psalmist says. The whole earth is filled with awe at your wonders. Where morning dawns and evening fades, you call forth songs of joy. You care for the land, Lord. You water it. Thank God for rain. You enrich it abundantly. The streams of God are filled with water to provide the people with grain, for so you have ordained it. You drench the furrows and level the ridges. You soften it with showers and bless it with crops. You crown the year with your bounty, and your carts overflow with abundance. The grasslands of the wilderness overflow. The hills are clothed with gladness. The meadows are covered with flocks, and the valleys are mantled with grain. You know what I love? Pastor Joy can tell you this. Every time we're on the highway and I pass a farm, and there's cows over there on the hill, I just say to her, I love fences. I do. I have a weakness for fences. I love fences, and I love what's on the other side of the fence. I love cows. I do, man. I love me some cows. I believe before I die, before I leave this world, God's going to give me some acreage, and I'm going to have some cows and a nice fence. Amen? I believe I'm going to get that. You say, you ain't happy with just the beach? No, I want something in the mountains too. Amen? Why shouldn't I have something in the mountains? That's God's land, and I believe in for property in the mountains where I can have me some cows. Amen? Amen? I believe that. Y'all can laugh if you want to. It's a reality for me, okay? When I get it, don't you say a word. Shut your mouth, okay? What do you say, Pastor did what? They bought 100 acres in the mountains of North Carolina. Okay, don't be surprised. Don't be surprised at all. I'm believing God's going to give me land with beautiful fences and grazing cattle. Amen? I feel the Holy Ghost all over that. Amen? Where was I at before I jumped off my horse? He says, you crown the year with bounty. The carts over the grasslands of the wilderness overflow. The hills are clothed with gladness. The meadows, there we go, are covered with flocks. And the valleys are mantled with grain. They shout for joy and they sing. Let's draw from that power verse, number 11. You crown the year with bounty. That word is translated, I put it there for you, goodness. You crown the year, Lord, with goodness. And my carts, that's the path that I'm traveling. What's behind my name? What's behind my life? What kind of legacy have I built and am I leaving for this earth? You're going to fill my path, overflow it with abundance. See, I'm just working to bless my kids. Amen? I'm going to leave them an inheritance. I'm not going to leave them in trouble. I'm going to leave them more than enough because my Father's name is what? El Shaddai. Amen? Come on, give the Lord praise for that. Listen, if you don't get excited today, you can't be excited. Come on. You need to get excited. You say, well, listen, if you do that for Pastor, you can do it for me. I've got a beautiful home. Where'd you get it from? God gave it to me. Amen? And God wants to give you one. Amen? And God wants to give you what your heart's desire is. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you and well. Cynthia, I decree a house for you, girl. She just shared with me. Stand up right where you are. She just shared with me this morning that one of her goals is to have a house. And she says, I'm working hard to get things in order. Stretch your hand out this way. Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, I thank you, Lord, that the petition of your child you've already heard, Lord. And you own the cattle on 1,000 hills. And God, I thank you that you are maneuvering. I hear the Lord say maneuvering right now. That you're maneuvering things. You're putting things in place where she will be a homeowner for herself because you're her father. In Jesus' strong name. Come on, give the Lord praise today. Cynthia's got a new house. Amen. Cynthia's got a new house. Come on over to Simp's house. She's cooking supper. Come on, somebody. God is good. He wants to bless us. There's always a realization in a crowd like this and listening online. There's always that realization of people who say they're answering this thing one of two ways. He says, I want to crown your year with bounty and I want to overflow you in your crowd, in your carts and your paths with abundance. And there's always those people who say, yes, Lord, I receive it. Come on. Some of y'all got excited and said, yes, Lord, that's me. You're speaking to me today. Come on. How many faith people have I got in the room this morning that are saying, God, I want to thank you for what you're releasing to me in 22. He's my source, you say. There are always those people to say, he's done it before and he'll do it again. Go ahead, Lord, release your abundance to me. I thank you for it in Jesus' strong name. And then, there's always those people that say what? Oh, yeah, right. Come on. Let's talk about them for just a minute. Always those people to say, well, yeah, he blessed you because you're in the ministry. That's just the biggest lie in the world. He's blessed me because I'm a child of the living God. Amen? And there's always those people that will respond that way. Really? God's going to give me land? I don't think so. I ain't got nothing. My mom and daddy didn't have nothing. Stop right there. Stop professing negative things from your mouth because you have what you say. Come on. Stop professing negative things from your mouth. Amen? Thank the Lord. Lord, I thank you for that house. I thank you for that husband. I thank you for that wife. God, I thank you for those children. Praise God. Just begin to thank God for those things that you desire because your Father is sitting there waiting to release blessing and favor upon your life. He wants to give his children good things. Amen. Amen. Remember Naomi? Maybe you find yourself in a situation like Naomi was in. Naomi, her bittersweet story unfolds in the book of Ruth. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, Joshua, Judges, the 8th book of the Bible, Ruth. her hometown, a town whose very name signifies abundance. Where was Naomi from? Bethlehem, the house of bread. That's where she was from. I've been there so many times. It's a small little place about the size of, oh my goodness, Bethlehem's probably about the size of, Pastor Mike, is it as big as a Husky or bigger? That ain't much bigger. Maybe not as big. Just a little spot on the hillside. That's all it is. Bethlehem, the house of bread. The house of bread. Because the living bread came, born on that starry night in Bethlehem. You find yourself like Naomi. Her husband, oh, he was a good man. His name alone spoke of relationship with the Lord. His name was Elimelech. His name meant, my God is king. Her name, well, it was descriptive of her appearance, Naomi. I've only known really one Naomi in my life, Sister Naomi Denton. Naomi, her name was indicative of character. Her name was indicative of being a pleasant, a lovely person, a delightful person to be around. That was her name. And although her name was indicative of her character, Naomi ran across something in her life that every one of us have run through or will run through. The first thing I want to talk to you for a minute or so about is tough times. Naomi ran across tough times. The house of bread, this Bethlehem, this place of abundance, became a place of famine. Hardship forced the family to migrate. They moved on. Elimelech died. Guess what? Check out this now. Her husband Elimelech died, and her two sons died also, each of them leaving a widow with no children. Talk about devastation and results of a famine and life changes. She was spiritually and emotionally depleted. For over 10 years, she struggled as an alien in sorrow, grieving the loss of her family. And then she makes her way all the way back to Bethlehem. She says, don't you call me Pleasant anymore. Don't call me Naomi. She changed her name to what? Mara. Because her name now meant bitterness. She changed her own name, ascribed to herself a name that really, in basically, it told people how she felt. Bitterness. She was struggling, man. She was struggling. Like many of us, Naomi was hard on herself. A bitter woman doesn't easily win the love of a daughter-in-law like Ruth, nor influence her to serve the Lord. You see, bitterness will cause you, catch this now, bitterness will cause you to divert receiving what God intended for you. Some of you are lacking in your life because you got a bitter spirit. Let that sink in for just a second. Some of you are lacking in your life because you're still angry with your mama. You're still angry with your daddy. You're still angry with what your brother did to you. And you're going to miss out on what God wants you to have because you have a bitter spirit. God, release that spirit from me. Come on, if that's you, come on, lay your hand on your chest. Lord, release that spirit from me today. I just give you, God, every feeling in my heart, and I release it to you. Let me not be angry. Let me not be embittered by what's been done to me. Let me not be embittered by how I was treated or how I was not treated. And Lord, release me from that so that I can live abundant life in Jesus' name. Come on, give the Lord praise. Bitterness will cause you to divert, miss out, receive. You won't receive what God has for you. It'll hold you back from receiving with timeliness your God-intended blessings. Naomi's story ends well. In the final scene from her life, we see Naomi contented, holding her grandson. Man, I had a chance yesterday to hold my grandson, Eli. Come on, Eli. Smile at Papa Eli. And he does these little half smiles, just kind of don't want to waste a whole lot of energy. So he just kind of gives you half of it up like that. He smiles. And if you tickle him enough and mess with him enough, he'll give you the other side of it too. He'll smile. Eli. She's holding her grandson, a little boy by the name of Obed. Y'all know where this is going? Now she's holding her grandson. His name is Obed, who much later became the grandfather. Somebody say grandfather. He became the grandfather of the man who wrote that psalm that I just read to you a moment ago. Naomi's great-grandson was named what? David. David. Psalm 65 resonates with this powerful contentment. Like his ancestor Naomi, David, he knew something about the long trail of tears. He knew something about struggle. He knew something about sorrows. He knew what it was like to be on the run. He knew what it was like for someone to dislike him. But here in this Psalm of David, Psalm 65, there's not a hint, no sign of any weeping, need, hunger, want, desire. None of that stuff is written there. David knew and understood something that you and I all need to understand, that God has a destiny assigned to his life. And can I just tell you something today? God has a destiny assigned to yours. Some of y'all are making it longer to get there, okay? You're making it take a whole lot longer to get there. You know, I did that for many, many years. Many, many years. I convinced myself that I was not worthy of having a home. Well, you can't afford it. I told myself, I don't need to do that. Somebody says, don't you want a house? Well, I'd love to have a house. Well, why don't you have one? I can't afford one. I convinced myself if I could afford one, in other words, the only time you would ever get a house is when you got more than enough money to pay for one. Can I just tell you something? You probably won't ever get one like that. I had to exercise faith. And then when I exercised faith, guess what else? God's favor met me in the mix. Come on, let me say that again. I exercised faith, and God's favor met me in the mix. It doesn't make any sense. It doesn't make any sense at all. But you see, David is here in this psalm, and there's no sign of any kind of complaining. Like a normal psalm, you have this issue of lamenting and pouring out your griefs and your sorrows. And then, like Psalm 77, read it sometime, the psalmist pours out all of his grief. And then in the end of it, he says, to this will I appeal, to the years of the right hand of the Most High God. He's the one that led us through on dry ground. In other words, the psalmist will pour out all of his lament and complaint. And then he will pull the mercy card at the end, okay? And he'll just say, okay, here we go. Let me get back to my right mind and let me recognize God for who he is. Listen, you need to understand God is who he is no matter what situation or circumstance you find yourself in. God is God all by himself, they used to say. Come on. He's God, and he wants to bless his people. Amen? And so there's something to be said about tough times, yes, but then there's also something to be said in Naomi's life, in your life, in my life, about the fullness of time. There came a time when I one day did walk into the destiny of receiving property that God wanted me to have, the fullness of time. You see, it is a peace and a calm that mark the atmosphere from the lips of David as he pens this psalm. No mention here of enemies, no mention of conspirators, no mention of foes or the like. There are no cries for desperation in Psalm 65, no feelings of abandonment. God, why have you left me here to die? No indications of pain, no sense of being at the end of his rope. What am I going to do? David is rejoicing in the God of his salvation. David is rejoicing in the God of provision, the Jehovah Jireh, the God of peace, the God who is more than enough. He's rejoicing in El Shaddai as he writes Psalm 65. And if you're passing through a difficult experience, you may wonder and ask yourself, are there really moments in my life that are like Psalm 65? Will I ever get a break? Come on, honestly, how many of you have said that before? Will I ever get a break? And how many of you have got a spirit of comparison and you started to compare yourself with other people? Oh, some of you have. You know what? That's the most dangerous thing you can do. Because, see, you don't know the internal affairs of those other people. You don't know what sacrifices they've been through. You don't know what stuff they've had to work through to get where they are. So listen, don't get in the spirit of comparison. You'll lose every time. I promise you, you'll lose every time. Are there really moments in my life that can be like Psalm 65, where my carts are overflowing with abundance, where my path is just going through all the right places? Is there really a flight in life with no turbulence? Come on. You know, my mom's getting ready to go to Seattle with us in January the 5th. And we were talking about flying, and I was trying to get my dad to go. He's 86, and I was trying to get him to get on that plane. No, I can't do that. I said, Dad, he was sitting in his easy chair. Why do they call those chairs easy chairs? I guess it's because it's just easy to sit there and do nothing, right? He's sitting in his easy chair, and I said, Dad, When you get on that plane, I said, you know what you're going to feel? You're going to feel just like you're sitting right there where you are. Now, is that true? Partially. Okay? Okay? Because how many of you have been on one of those flights where you're just watching a movie and all of a sudden, boom, whoa, what was that? And they're no longer serving beverages down the aisle, no peanuts for you. Come on. I mean, you're not going to. Why? Because there's turbulence. So there can be seasons on the flight where there's some rough ride. And, you know, the good thing is that we have the technology today where you're sitting there just, you know, everything's just going good, and you just hear that little And ladies and gentlemen, this is your captain speaking. You might want to just kind of go ahead, and I'm going to turn the seatbelt light back on. You might want to go ahead and buckle that thing because, you see, he knows something that you don't, okay? And he says in about 10 minutes or so, we're going to start running into that, and you're thinking, yeah, no, man, this is all smooth. I mean, everything's smooth, you know. He knows what he's talking about. Why? Because he knows the path before you, okay? He's got the technology right up there in the cockpit that can tell him what's happening there. And aren't you glad that God knows where you're flying, okay? And guess what? He has written a destiny with some details about you. And you don't want to miss everything in your story. You don't. You don't want to miss it. You don't want to miss it at all because God has charted a course for you, even from your inmost being. He knit you together in your mother's womb. You're not a mistake. You're not. You are here for divine purposes. God has something written out for you that is good. He says, I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord, not to harm you, but plans to bless you in incredible ways. Jeremiah told us that. He has a hope and a future for you. Amen? So just when you get on a pity party and think that it's happening for everybody else except you, if you're not careful, you'll forfeit your destiny with your own mouth. Let that settle in for just a second. I said, if you're not careful, you will forfeit your destiny with your own mouth. Man, come on, y'all. Life and death are in the power of the tongue. So you begin to speak. Make 22 a year that you start to just thank God for the blessings that are chasing you down. God, I thank you that you are just running after me with things, God, blessings and provisions that I don't even know about yet. I promise you, God has plans for you. He wants to bless you. He has a hope and a future for you. So the setting for this psalm here in Psalm 65 is literally harvest time. You know, it's a powerful thing to plant seeds, you know, and take care of it. And it's rough when you have to pull grass out of it. And it's rough when, you know, thorns and thistles make their way in there and you feel like, man, why did I ever plant this thing? But then isn't it a wonderful day when you got a galvanized bucket in your hand walking through there picking tomatoes? Come on. All right? You see the fruit of all your reward. Verse 9 to 11, he says, you care for the land and you water it. You enrich it abundantly. The streams of God are filled with water to provide the people with grain, for so you have ordained it. You drench its furrows and level its ridges. You soften it with showers and bless its crops. You crown the year with your bounty, and your carts overflow with abundance. All has gone well. The scene is completely contrast with the failure of a harvest that Naomi had experienced. David, this loved one, this family member in the future, is writing now about all of God's provision. Unlike was like in Naomi's life. Very unlike that. Now the fleshing floors are filled with grain. In such a time, David begins to write those words in verse 1. Praise awaits you, O God. I have much, he says, to give you thanks for. I have much to praise you for. Because of all you have done. And then he starts about with his list. Do you and I praise him in the tough times? Do you praise him in the good times as well as the bad, and the tough times as well as the fullness of time? Before contemplating the bounty of the harvest, David celebrates the God who beautifies and makes it all fruitful. Our inner life is so important to take care of yourself. Look at what he thinks about it even before he mentions natural blessings. Look at verses 3 and 4. When we were overwhelmed, Lord, by sins, you forgave our transgressions. Blessed are those you choose and bring near to live in your courts. We are filled. He's talking about us. We are filled with the good things of your house, your holy temple. Isn't it so good to get in the church this morning and worship God and move to an altar, lift your hands, tears flowing down your face, to be in the presence of God. When you're in those moments, you don't think about your challenges. You just worship. Why? Because He's worthy to be worshiped. Amen? He's worthy. Since sin once overwhelmed you, but now your transgressions are forgiven. Like the prodigal son of Luke's gospel, we went into a far country, but now we live in His courts. We're no longer running from God. We're running to God, and we're in His courts with praise and giving thanks unto Him. This God of our personal lives and God over the harvest is the awesome Creator who formed the mountains. Look what He says in verses 5 to 7. You answer us with awesome and righteous deeds, God our Savior, the hope of all the ends of the earth and of the farthest seas, who formed the mountains by your power, having armed yourself with strength, who stilled the roaring of the seas, the roaring of the waves, and the turmoil of all the nations. David reminds us. He reminds us here, if he can exercise control over nature and he can exercise control over nations, can he not rule over the difficult circumstances of my little life? Come on, I'm a little speck like a piece of sand on the beach. But if he can handle nations, surely he can handle my issues. Amen? Amen? Come on, give the Lord praise. So he continues. He continues with verse 8 with the words that we now stand in sanctuaries like this and sing. Look at verse 8. At dawn and sunset, will you express praise to Him with songs of joy? I think it was Phillips Craig and Dean years ago wrote this song. They say, when morning dawns and evening fades, you desire songs of praise that rise from earth to touch your heart and glorify your name. Your name is a strong and mighty tower. Your name is a shelter like no other. Let the nation sing it louder, because nothing has the power to save like your name. You see, all of our songs that we sing come from the Bible. They come from the Scriptures. Many of them come from the Psalms. And that's what he says in verse 8. At dawn and sunset, you will express praise to Him with songs of joy. Thank God for the people that we're borrowing their music and we're singing on Sunday morning songs that have been penned by Spirit-led people that give us songs of Zion to sing as we worship together. And in those final verses of this powerful psalm that celebrates the time of the harvest, notice what he says in verses 9 to 11. You care for the land and you water it. You will enrich it abundantly. The streams of God are filled with water to provide people with grain, for so you have ordained it. You drench the furrows. You level the ridges. You soften it with showers and bless its crops. You crown the year with your bounty, and your carts overflow in abundance. Words of fullness. Look at the words in there that we just read to you. Enrich, abundantly, drench, soften, bless, crown, bounty, overflow, abundance. All of those powerful words. God wants to do those things in your life and my life. Not dread, fear, disease, famine, plague. No, no, no. That's what you get in the world. But when you follow God and He's first in your life, you get abundance, you get blessings, you get overflow, you get abundance, you get bounty, you get crowned with goodness. Listen, when you follow Christ, everything has to work out just fine. Come on. It's going to work out good. Man, you know what? I hate it. I hate it. I hate it. I've met this guy, Joel Osteen. Man, he's got a bullseye all over his life. People are always shooting arrows at Joel Osteen. Oh, he don't believe in Jesus the way we believe. Listen, I'm not going to dissect what the guy believes, but I know what I felt when I went to his church, okay? I know the Holy Spirit spoke to me about this is a place where the Holy Spirit dwells. This is a place where God's doing incredible things, and he's spending his life with a bullseye on him. People are tearing him down because he's always happy. Wow, what is something to be accused of? Being happy. All he simply said on an interview one time was, I just stay in my lane, okay? God's called me to be what? An encourager. And I just try to encourage people that if you put Christ first in your life, everything's going to work out okay. And there's some 275 ministries ministries of deliverance, ministries dealing with demonic spirits, ministries of benevolence and blessing that flow out of that church, unreal ministry to Houston and the greater area that people don't even know about. Hospitals on site, right there for folks who can't afford treatment, can go by and get medical treatment at zero out of their pocket. Why? Because his brother's a doctor, okay? And his brother has given of himself to come and set up portable hospitals with the help of guys like Franklin Graham, who has the ability to set up a portable house of medicine. And people criticize him all the time. Listen, why don't you start to concentrate on good things? Why don't you purpose in your heart that, you know what, before I judge anything, I'm going to say, God, let me just lift them up in prayer, you know? Listen, people judge me. People judge me. I got hate mail. I got ugly messages on the telephone in my life. Listen, they can judge you all they want to. They're going to judge me. They're going to judge you. But you know what matters the most is that your heart is right with God and that you know God has done incredible things in your life. And even some of you sitting here this morning, some of your own family members throw stones at you because you serve the Lord. All who live godly in Christ Jesus, what? Shall suffer persecution. Amen? I was talking to a friend not too long ago about a struggle that I had been facing, and he just stopped me. He said, Pastor Wallace, he said, it's just a spirit. It's a spirit. And you need to understand that it's a spirit, and so you'll get a better understanding of why you're fighting the battle that you're fighting. It's a spirit. And you know what? That's such a true thing. Because your life, my life, doesn't stand for unrighteousness. It stands for righteousness. So you know what? You got a bullseye on you too. You can be talking about some preacher somewhere. He's preaching this. He's preaching that. He's preaching the other thing. But you need to be careful before you're casting judgment on somebody that you don't know anything about. You know nothing about them. Amen? God is good. Listen, God is good, and he's good all the time. God knows every situation. If Naomi had known the outcome of her life during those difficult years, famine, relocation, death, grief, emptiness, she would have welcomed a Psalm 65. She would have welcomed that psalm to charge her batteries in her own faith. But she didn't have this psalm. You know why? Because David wasn't born yet. When she lived, David wasn't born yet. But unlike Naomi, you and I have them from Genesis to Revelation. We have the Bible, and we don't even pick it up and read it. We have the Psalms that are here to strengthen our lives every day. We have David's Psalms and the entire Word of God, the Bible, with all of its rich promises. You know that Jesus was born. You know that he died. You know that he rose from the dead. And that God, along with him, will, as it says in Romans 8:32, graciously give us all things. And you know that it goes on to say in Romans 8:28 that everything, even though it's challenging sometimes, is working together for good in my situation. God is the only one that can take negative things that happens in your life and my life and turn them around and somehow squeeze some good out of them. God is in control of every situation in your life. Come on, give him praise today. There's a time for everything. If all circumstances are well with you today and you enjoy a time of harvest and bounty, of rich yield, of the investments of love and care that you've made, you should express your praise to God. Lord, here I am. I got up this morning and you put me on my way. And God, I just thank you, God, that you blessed me with good health today, Lord, and that you're moving in my behalf, God. Even when I can't even see it, God, you're charting the course for me. Today, I'm going to have a good day. Today I'm going to run into people that I can bless and they can bless me. Listen, it's all about perspective. That's what I was saying a moment ago. People are crucifying somebody but telling them that their best life is forward. Their best life's ahead of them. Amen? Listen, if you read the Bible, your best life's ahead of you. Amen? Because the Bible was written with you in mind, amen? The Bible, you're a child of the living God. It is a story about how God redeemed you from hell in the pit, and he's put your foot on a solid rock and caused you to march forward in your life and receive your inheritance. And your inheritance is nothing to be shooting smack about. Your inheritance is nothing to be saying words about that you don't know. Listen, your inheritance is God's best that he has for you. Why is it so hard for you to receive from God? Amen? Because the enemy is out there on the prowl, and he's trying his best to discourage you. He's trying to block you from the blessings that God has for your life. God's assigned them to you. God's assigned blessing to your life. And you know, listen, don't get a poverty spirit. Don't get a poverty spirit and say, well, you know, I know it's God's will that some people have good stuff. Come on. How many of y'all got grandkids? Have you ever just thought, well, you know what? I'd get something for my kids. But no, they don't deserve nothing, little rascals. No. You just say, you know what? He struggled in school. You know, he's in timeout more than he's in time in. But you know what I want to do? I want to bless him. And you didn't withhold blessings from him. You released those blessings to them. Because why? Because you love them. Amen. And you want to bless them. Amen. God feels the same way about you. God feels the same way about me. He knows our shortcomings. He knows everything about us. The Bible says the hairs on our head are numbered. Amen? But he still wants to bless you. He wants to bless you. He wants to pour out blessings upon your life. 2022, are there going to be tough times? Yes, sir, I promise there will be. Are you going to move forward through the tough times? Yes, you will, you know. So one preacher said it like this: either you've been through a rough place, you got a rough place that you're in right now, or you're getting ready to go through a rough place. That's what we call what? Life, okay? L-I-F-E. L-I-F-E, that's life. But you know what? You walk in the fullness of God, expecting him to fulfill his plans and his purposes for you, that he indeed in 22 is going to crown your year with goodness. Amen. Come on, stand to your feet this morning and just declare to him, I want the goodness of God. Come on, lift your hands. Lord, I thank you for your goodness today. I thank you for your mercy today. I thank you, Lord, that it endures forever. And I thank you, God, for releasing unto me in 2022 your divine goodness, Lord. I declare it in Jesus' name. I declare it in Jesus' name. Come on, clap your hands to the Lord today. I declare it in Jesus' name. God, thank you for your goodness. Thank you for causing my carts to overflow today. In Jesus' strong name. In Jesus' strong name. Let's worship the Lord together. Come on, let something come from your mouth today. Let something come from your mouth today as we begin to worship him. Father, in the name of Jesus, we just bless your people today, Lord. God, we thank you, Lord, that you brought us here today to worship you in spirit and in truth, God. You brought us here, God, to take a look at Psalm 65. You brought us here to tell us today, God, that you wanted to release your goodness to your people in 2022. God, you brought us here to be reminded that you are God. You have redeemed us. You have given your only son, Jesus, to die for us, God. Even as we celebrate his birth, as the sister said in the service, without a birth, there never would have been a death, God. And Father, we thank you for the death of Jesus Christ on the cross, the fact that the grave could not hold him. He was raised from the dead so that you and I could live. And God, we thank you for abundant life in Jesus' name. We thank you for it, Lord. Hallelujah. 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 We bless you, Lord. We bless you today for abundant life in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. If you're here today and you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ, come on, just make your way to the altar this morning. Someone will meet you here and pray with you. If you're here today and you just need someone to agree with you for a physical need, maybe there's some struggle in your body. Maybe there's some illness that keeps knocking on your door. Maybe there's an emotional issue that you just can't seem to shake and you're struggle with. You say, I have good days, and then all of a sudden this thing just hits me again. Maybe you're here and you just need someone to agree with you for complete and total deliverance in that issue. I promise you, God is here to meet you. God is here to meet you. Come on, step out of your seat. Step out of your seat and believe God to touch you today. Believe God to encourage you today. Believe God to empower you today. Believe God to strengthen you today. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Lord. We bless you, Lord. We bless you, Lord. We bless you, Lord. Hallelujah. Come on, don't miss your moment. Don't miss your moment. Let someone lay hands on you. Believe God with you and for you. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah.
Father's arms are
Hallelujah, hallelujah. Come on, clap your hands, all you people. Shout unto God with a voice of triumph. Lord, thank you. Thank you for your blessings, your abundant provision in every way in our lives. Thank you for divine protection. Thank you for dealing with our enemies, Lord. Thank you, God, for surrounding us with favor like a shield. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Bless your people, God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. You begin to pray as you go through the beginnings now of a brand new year. Why don't you just separate yourself to a quiet place? Grab an old paper calendar if you need to. Use your phone if you can. We went to Dollar General and bought a calendar for a dollar. Just a calendar. Shows the whole month. Just begin to write things down as the Lord gives them to you. This is what my goal is. Can you see yourself? Can you see yourself moving from point A to point B? Come on. Point A to point B. Point B to point C. Amen. Maybe you found someone that you think, you know what, this might be my year to. Maybe I need to make a decision. Do I spend my life with this person? Come on now. Ask God to reveal to you, Lord, is this the season? Maybe you're thinking about buying a house. Lord, is this the season? And Lord, if it's this year, why don't you speak to me about which month it should be? Maybe I should buy a house in May or June or July or whatever. God, would you let me make it my goal to just accomplish that I'm going to buy that house by the month of May. You say, Pastor, you really think God cares that much about those things? He cares about you. So yes, I do. Yes, I do. God cares about you. Make it a year that you lay aside criticisms. You know, if you look in my notes this morning, you won't find Joel Osteen's name in there anywhere. But that hit my spirit when I was speaking, and I just want to say this to you. We have enough critical spirits without in the world. We sure don't need any in the kingdom. We don't need any in the kingdom. People on the outside are criticizing enough. We sure don't need any extra ammunition from the body. So, you know, if you don't like somebody, don't listen to them. Don't listen to them, but don't arm yourself with negative words and try to bring criticism to people that you don't care for. Just don't listen to them. That's all you got to do. And you know what? You got family members you're struggling with. Listen, maybe God's trying to do something inside of you. Maybe there's an internal work that's got to be done. Let's make it a year of tremendous strides for incredible workings of the Spirit in our lives, in our families, in our possessions. I don't know about you, but I want more. I do. I want more. I want more of God's blessings. And I've come to the conclusion a long time ago. In fact, I was sitting on the sofa last night with Jeremy, my son-in-law. And I look at all these presents and all this paper and all these bows. And I said, how many presents did you get? He smiled. He said, we didn't get much, did we? I said, no, but we sure had a chance to give a lot. Come on. What is more? I think Jesus said something like this. It's more blessed to give. Come on, guys, come on. More blessed to give than it is to receive. My wife and I were blessed. What'd you get for Christmas, Pastor? You know, I didn't need my family to give me anything. You guys blessed us with enough. You blessed us with gift cards and checks and cash and, you know, gifts, cheese balls. I mean, listen, I got everything I need. It was just a blessing to be able to give to our family. Amen? Because God is just that good. He's just that good. And I want to thank you, Pastor Joy, on behalf of both of us. Just want to say thank you for loving on us. That's all. For loving on us. Some of you say, well, I didn't do much. No, no. Little is much when God is in it. Okay? Listen, that's all. Little is much when God is in it. So thank you. Thank you for kindness. Thank you for support. Thank you for prayers. Amen. Thank you for vacation deals. Amen. Vacation plans. Amen. Thank you for every little act of kindness. Just thank you for that. And may the God of all blessings bless you abundantly for all of your love for us. I pray that He'll do that. Let's believe 2022 is going to be filled with God's goodness. Come on. God's goodness. God's goodness. Amen. God bless you. Have a wonderful day, and celebrate the things of God all day long. God bless you.